How are you?
Thank you very much for coming to the session. So can you make it a little bit lower volume? One? Yeah, that's a little bit lower. Otherwise, it looks like I'm screaming. Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming back to the session. As you can see, I'm not Paul Dolly. He's giving up. He's forcing me to buy beer to everyone, but now I'm going to deliver his session, so please rate it as low as you can so he can get all the benefits of it. No, I'm kidding. But look, seriously, we really, really need your feedback, guys. Please rate the sessions. Leave a comment. Tell us what you want to hear from us. The content, the stuff you want a more technical, you want a lighter technical, more marketing. I'm sure engineers will love that. That's important for us so we can deliver next year the content exactly the way you want it to be delivered and the specific ones, right? So this is the last session. Again, we thought, look, it's a very kind of two-bitten topics been around the places, video interop and voice interop. You ask 10 engineers what is the best way to interop, they'll give you 15 opinions. 15 ways that actually you can interop those things. So again, in 1 hour, it's unlikely I'm going to really cover and teach you for all possible options. But as I've said, we're trying to give you some kind of framework, some starting point that at least you should think of those are the ways I can work around this, and this kind of should open a dialogue and conversations between you, if you are a partner, and your customers to say, let's explore the capabilities and possibilities. So we'll talk about standards-based voice interop. Again, it's a very, very bitten topic, standards-based. What is a standard, right? I'll answer that question, and we'll talk about some of the modeling. Actually, what kind of options are available, we'll explore them in a bit of details. And at the end, we'll have a Q&A. You ask us the questions, we'll give you the answers, and we will ask you, at the end of everything, one question. Very tough technical question. The winner will get the Plantronics Voyager Focus headset. It's just arrived to New Zealand a couple of days ago, very fresh on the market. It's a very, very good device. So the question going to be about something that we present on the slide. So pay attention to the slides. There's not going to be any special thing. It's just some technical terms and topics. So let's talk about the standards-based voice interoperability. Again, going back, the signal link in the exchange of the willingness of the end device, letting the server know what it wants to do, establish a call or send, whatever it does, right? Signaling usually travels between the client back to the server. The media is the flow of voice and video sessions between the devices. If it's a P2P session, media flows between two endpoints. If it's a conferencing session, media flows between all the endpoints sending back to the server. Voice conference in Skype for Business, very similar to Link 2013 and 2010, we actually take the top loudest 5 talkers, mix the stream, and send as a one stream, as a mixed stream to everyone. Like if you've got 20 people screaming, we're not going to get all 20 screams. We're just going to take who is the loudest top 5, and we'll send it from the voice perspective. Peer-to-peer sessions, when it is always point-to-point, even when you are outside, it's still point-to-point, but relayed by edge server. Remember, very important, edge does not participate in your peer-to-peer voice or video session. It only relays literally packets. It relays the connection through itself, right? It doesn't code and decode. It doesn't understand the codecs. That's on the edge side. Conferences, again, there's a variety of the modalities, and for exercise of today's session, we'll talk about voice. The basics, the human voice can take, the range of the frequencies actually we hear, right? It's starting from 80 hertz to 14 kilohertz. And usually when it refers to codec, it's a very, very old slide, I would say, but it's sometimes too good to come back and remember the basics, revise them. There's two types of codecs we usually have. It's a narrow band and wide band. And it is really what's important. It matters how frequently, what kind of the range of the modulation of the voice signal will take when we actually start sampling the voice signal. For narrow band codecs we take kind of 8 kilohertz range. It's a +4 or -4 of the modulated voice signal. And for wide band codec, we actually increase the range and take it not for 8, we increase it to ±8 kilohertz, right? That's the two types of codec. Everything in this world has narrow band and wide band basically scope. Now, G711 is a narrow-band codec. It's not wide-band codec. That's why people say, my Skype call is hearing much better than my PSTN call, because G711, traditional codec for most of the telephony we've been using for a while, it's a narrow-band codec. Silk has been introduced by Microsoft into Skype for Business World and to Link 2013 client. It's been taken from Skype. So when we acquired Skype, we've taken the Silk codec out of Skype, and we actually embedded into Link 2013 and into Skype for Business client. It's been there probably at least for at least 8 months, right? But it's never been a preferred codec for voice communications. If 6 months ago you would go in through the logs and go and read the invite messages of the client, you could see the Silk was one of the options always offered by the client that I can do the codec. But we never kind of force, we never let client to start using it. As of now, for Skype for Business clients, Silk is the preferred and it is a default voice codec for them. So G722, it's still used by conferencing. You will not, it's offered as a capability in the invite statement, but you will never see two endpoints talking to each other via G722. Never. It's only used by the conferencing, voice conferencing. And Siren is, again, it's used to be used by OCS, used by 2013, and still used, I don't think so, it's Skype for Business. I have to confirm it. But it's mostly it's been used by 2010 and 2013 servers in the conferencing environments for backward compatibility in case if you would have OCS clients joining the conference. It will actually force the voice session go into Siren, not to G722. And RT Audio is our codec that proprietary, yes, developed by Microsoft, and it's still used by clients. It is present; has a presence inside Skype for Business client, but will not be preferred always as default codec. Most of the times is for backward compatibility. If you have someone on a 2010 client trying to talk to someone on a Skype for Business 2015 client, they basically more than likely will use RT Audio because 2010 doesn't understand concepts of Silk. So bandwidth-wise, this look, the TechNet should be your Bible. On the TechNet, always we have the latest information on what is actually bandwidth used by different codecs. As you can see, the reason I've highlighted G711 is because when it comes to interoperability, that's the only codec we see in the interop cases. Basically, all our clients will talk to the mediation server using Silk, RT Audio, and then mediation server will convert the codec into G711. We'll take whatever it comes, Silk, we'll decode it into G711, and it will give it away as a G711 call. You integrate with PBX, it is a G711 call. That's the only codec used for interoperability. Full stop. There's no other choices. There's no other possibilities, right? Very important to also understand for network and bandwidth sizing perspective. Slide is not here, but I probably want to mention it. On the TechNet, we have got area where we have the recommended, it's kind of, they said, usual value and the maximum value of the bandwidth. The reason it is done that we recommend to consider maximum value that codec can use, it is for planning perspective. Because if we state the maximum value is X amount of kbps per call, that means there is a possibility that codec at some point of time will actually consume that amount of bandwidth. And when we say typical value of the codec, it to help you to understand if I have 10 calls going through the network, how much bandwidth I use, we consider we would use typical values to actually predict and say yes, we think that's the amount of the bandwidth it's actually used for by voice codecs. When we talk about interoperability, these kind of elements usually come into the place. When we talk about those elements, it's Skype for Business server. You need to think about mediation server because mediation server will be kind of sitting and transcoding your codecs. That's the device that does. And mediation server usually comes as a co-located server role on the front-end server itself, or if you're doing, I believe TechNet says over 155 simultaneous transcoding sessions, we will ask you to actually have a standalone mediation server or pool of servers, because that means it's a lot of processing required of the box. The last thing you want, people start failing doing IM messages because you're just transcoding some of the voice calls. The gateways, there's a variety of the gateways. I was having a chat with the guys. There's a Sonos, there's a audio codes. Look, you have existing, you may think about using it. I mean, I'd love to definitely you to have and go have a certified gateways, and the reason we talk about them as a certified because these gateways actually have been tested by us, been tested in our labs. We know actually how to fix problems when you have a problem. We can make recommendation. If you have got a bunch of Cisco routers or something else which hasn't been tested, it's not on the list, please don't just think I have to go and completely replace. Talk to us. Let's understand. If you have got an asset and you're not ready to move it away, well, we can think about it. We can understand what are the options, how we can make you to reuse your environment. PABX, voice, clients, yes, that's good. But the two things I really would like to bring your attention is the TelURI and Active Directory DID number. It is very important to understand those concepts because, first of all, in Link, Skype for Business, we do not route calls by telephone numbers. We don't care about calls. Whenever call coming into Link, the first thing we do, of course, there's a number of things inside, but in a concept, we do the reverse number lookup. We take a telephone number, anything, if the user pulled down the number. We server takes the number and says, does this number belong to any of my users? That's called reverse number lookup. And the way it identifies, it doesn't go into the Active Directory DID, whatever you write, no. It actually goes into Link itself and checks what is the telephony URI has been configured for user. So it tries to find the match, number versus tel URI. If I find the match, that means it is call for user who actually is configured with the number. It's called for Paul. And then I go into another place and say, okay, tell me where is Paul is presented currently. It can be on a laptop, can be on a mobile, can be at home on the desktop, can be on a variety of the devices. And then Skype for Business Server will ring, deliver the notification to all of these devices where Paul have been. It doesn't matter, is he active on mobile or is he active on the desktop or laptop. We track that information where we have seen him very active, but from the voice perspective, we will ring all the destinations irrespective of where we have been. All the destinations that actually he registered, he's signed in. And then when he chooses to answer the phone, he'll answer the phone, and that's where we'll deliver the media. So this is the concept, as you can see, for routing. We use the telephony URI, not the ID DIDs. So where the Active Directory entries for your DID, or direct inbound dialing numbers, are used, when you hover your mouse across contact, it comes up, I have to now to say, it's not Link contact card, it's an office contact card. Link doesn't have a concept of a contact card. The only thing Link and Skype for Business knows, list of URIs, CPURIs, who are your buddies. Then the Skype for Business client goes into Office, drags all the data, and constructs a contact card. So when you hover your mouse over the user, the contact card appears with a telephone number. That's where your DIDs will come into the contact card. So you can click, and the call will go to that number. So because we have those two concepts, your TelURI can be different to the DID configured in Active Directory. This is where the magic comes when you talk about interoperability. I can have them different, and dependent on actually what I want to achieve, I will start actually forcing different entries into those variables. That's very, very important. They don't have to be identical. So let's have a look at the models for interop. Again, this is a slide. I keep talking about this now for years. Don't start with technical because we are technical. We love technology. We love getting into the rooms, talking about architectures, gateways, all the things. No, that's not the right thing, especially with the interoperability of PABXs and Link right? You need to think, how do I want my users to use the system? Do I want they click and my PBX phone rings, or I want click and link phone rings first? Do I want to receive a telephone into PBX environment, or do I want a call coming into Skype for Business? You need to go through every scenario, literally thinking, as initiate a call, what should happen? Once you understand how actually you're going to use the system, it will very, very successfully will narrow down your choices into probably one or two. Otherwise, you will have just a myriad of choices you have to put your head around and say, which one is better for me? All of them, there's no right or wrong with those choices, right? There's a number of them. They have advantages, they have disadvantages. Each of them are unique for every specific need. But in order for you not to put your head around and say, well, what do I do? Start with the user. That's very, very important. So let's go through this. This is what we have seen so far, as summarized in one slide. This is how integration can be done. So everything with the gray background is the server-side integration. The only blue one, this is the client-side integration. So you only can integrate two ways, either on the server or on the client side. And these are the options. Let's go through them one by one. So client-side integration. It is an environment where you have absolutely no communications between the PBX and Skype for Business server. The integration done on the client side via installing additional plugins, via 1x plugin, Cisco CookieMo, CookieLink, whatever those plugins. And it's sold on a perception that don't buy Microsoft licenses. You really have our licenses already. We're just going to give you the clicking and calling capability. Completely forgetting about a couple of interesting factors. It is absolutely destroys the user experience. I click to call, and then my call is going into my PBX. It's completely getting away the concept of you being mobile. And importantly, if you have got 10,000 users in your organization, this means you have got 10,000 points of integration you have to support and maintain. That's a reality. And if I've done something good stuff, what I would do, I would create a case study, I'll create some learnings, and I'll advertise, I'll publish it. So far, I've been with Microsoft around 6+ years. I haven't seen any successful deployment where actually someone deployed the CookieLink or CookieMo, for example, and they really proudly raised their hand and said, yeah, we're happy, let's go and chat with the customer, customer will tell you. It's usually what we have seen. I personally have seen there's a lot of problems associated, right? Because it's not just the voice we do, right, with Skype for Business. It's the whole user experience really matters. How do I start communicating? And I start communicating not just playing a voice call. I don't come sit next to the handset and look at the handset and say, now I'm going to place a call. Okay. No, I usually do something else. I'm inside applications. I'm writing email or doing something else. And my communication could be IM. So, yes, it is possible. Is it good? I don't know. Depends. Depends what really user after. So you need to think about how user is going to be using the system. Everything else is the server-side integration. So one of the very, very beaten topics is remote call control. Remote call control is the capability where you basically integrate your Skype for Business and PBX using not just a gateway, but a very specific gateway. And that specific gateway, we call it CSTA gateway. It's basically SIP CSTA gateway, SIP special signaling gateway. What that gateway does, it actually also communicates with Skype for Business server, because inside Skype for Business server, you have to very specifically configure and bind user to the very specific extension of PBX. It means it will say, if I'm a Skype for Business client, I will be configured in the link or Skype for Business server that I am binded to the extension 100. Why do people go into this one? Because people want a soft phone solution, which means their existing PBX vendor doesn't have a soft phone, or whatever, if they have a soft phone option, it doesn't give them very good collaborative capabilities, or it's not good, they don't want to use it. So they would use Link or Skype for Business client, but whenever you click to call, your PBX phone will ring, and you can't change it. It's kind of binded forever inside Lincoln Sky for Business server configuration. Very commonly demand was, if I am on the call with this phone, the clients will see me, right? Because I'm dialing, everyone will see I'm busy. That's the two topic kind of that we've seen driving the RCC deployment. So it's a presence of the phones inside Sky for Business world. That's number one. And number two, ability to click in the Sky for Business client and my phone ringing. Is it right or wrong? It really depends. Again, coming back to the point of how user is going to be consuming a system. How much you break. Because some of the functionality gets broken. You can't just drag and drop people into your conversations. You can't just start suddenly turn IM session into the conference, bring more people. It's completely disjointed user experience, right? We're bringing much better option, which I'll talk about it, which is call via work. We believe you should be considering better features because with call via work, you're not really kind of completely attached to this phone. And imagine in these situations when you become mobile, you drag your laptop, you go home or sit somewhere in the convention center, you click to call, your phone in the office rings. Not next to you. You can't take a phone and always come, bring with you, right? The whole concept of mobility is completely broken. So you should consider again on the usability when you will make a decision about this. Now, RCC, remote call control, is still available. There's been a lot of speculations that is going away. Well, we have put into Sky for Business because it's been a lot of deployments existing and we didn't really want it to change, challenge all these deployments by people going into RCC and completely losing all the functionality. But, to say correctly, I'm recorded, right? It may go away and may go away within any of the cumulative updates, because we're not doing any development on the RCC. We're not improving. We're not doing anything. And actually, none of even other vendors doing any development on this side. So these are better options. Let's talk about that. So voice interop on the gateway side, which is we go direct or through the gateway, that's probably the preferred best interop option. Because what you will do, you will interconnect your Skype for Business with the gateway, with a gateway to your PBX, or you connect them directly via SIP trunk, and you will have a two standalone systems, yes, but again, there is a reason why you would like to do that. It's going to be a reason for you to do that, right? If you're just playing around in IT, in a lab, it's great. Put them on, try to use different functions and understand, but it's going to be something else you demand to go to this environment. You will have no limitations on the Sky for Business side because it's a fully functional client with the all modalities and all capabilities actually sitting inside Sky for Business client. And you can dial in and out, all the functionalities available. Now, why would I go to Gateway? There's a number of reasons. Number one, this is a certified thing, that's a topic that's coming, keep coming. If we have certified the PBX, you can actually establish direct SIP trunk to the PBX and it shouldn't be an issue. If we have uncertified PBX, for example, Avaya Blue, Nortel, CS1K is not certified for direct SIP integration. And I've seen some people actually do, and it works. They take complete responsibility and risk. And I've seen the cases where the CIO made a decision and said, it has to be certified every point of integration. It's great. We've put a certified gateway in the middle in sake of having this certified option because the gateway to the CS1K was a viable option. So you can choose whichever flavor you want, right? And, of course, we will encourage you to bring into the certified way because if it's not certified, it's kind of working today. You don't want to end up in a situation we put a new cumulative update and an IP trunk has gone bad. And then we spend weeks and months troubleshooting. And then I had a case where we integrated directly with Astra, and suddenly the link stopped working. After 2 months of troubleshooting, our engineers from our service center actually came back with the recommendation that Astra was sending the very corrupted, or there was something wrong with the SIP messages we were not getting right. So we had to then go back customer had to go back to Astro and say, you've got a problem on this site. 2 months later, they really kind of issued the patch, updated PBX. 4 months of going in and out just because of not having gateway. It's definitely worth putting gateway. It's not just the cost of gateway, but also other costs actually and productivity lost that have an impact on that. So these are two ways you can deploy gateway. Let's talk about the case where you will have a gateway. Because having gateway or not having gateway, in the end, it delivers the same result. But actually, what if I have a gateway, what's going to be? The two terminology that we use a lot in Microsoft and our partners use is upstream deployment and downstream deployment. Downstream deployment, when you basically route all the calls out through the PBX via gateway. Upstream deployment, when you inject the voice gateway in front of PBX, right? So let's have a look what's actually happening. If you are in an upstream deployment, that's usually we kind of recommending to go on that path. Because, number one, you are deploying Skype for Business, great. You are having PBX. My number one question is going to be, for how long this is going to live there? 2, 3, 4 years? Really? You need to think yourself a question. What is the end goal? I can do anything on technology side, but have a very clear understanding, actually, what is your end goal? Why we believe this is much clearer solution? Because, first of all, most of those gateways injected before the PBX, they have a capability to actually look up Active Directory and to recognize, is this user a Skype for Business user or PBX? It's basically look into the AD when call arrives, they look at AD and says, oh, that's a Skype for Business user. And they will run route call directly to Skype for Business. If it's the AD request comes back and says it's not Skype for Business user, he's not enabled for Skype for Business, then it will say, it means it's a PBX user, and then it will route to PBX. So all the calls can go through directly, and the calls internally, again, they can work through the same gateway. You play on the routing, and they can route calls between them. And the probably the best, I would say, recommendation for your coexistence in migration, make sure user exists in one environment. That will give you the best experience from the user side, and that will give you the minimum administrative nightmare to manage it and operate it. Very easy. You have got someone in a PBX. You disable him and enable him in a Skype for Business. There's nothing else you need to do. The gateway will automatically recognize actually user is a Skype for Business user. It will automatically route calls into your Skype for Business environment. So it's a minimum impact and configuration for migration perspective, but a lot of risks, I can tell you. It's a lot of risk and has to be assessed of people get a little bit scared injecting gateways in front of PBXs because it is, you know, the rule is if it's working, don't touch it. Simple. They don't want to bring it in. So it's a lot of conversations need to be done, but we found this is probably the best option based on the feedback we're getting from our partners and customers. The option of the downstream, it's great. You can put a downstream gateway because you don't want to inject. And the reason I left gateway here is because your PBX probably have a gateway anyway. That means your PBX is acting as a big gateway. It routes all the calls. All the calls first comes to PBX, and then all the calls, if it's a range allocated to Link or Skype for Business, all the calls then will be routed to Skype for Business. It is a less risky option to start with, but it has much more complexity when you start moving people around. Because once you move people around, you need to do the change on the PBX side, you need to change and enable them in the Skype for Business, and then you need to go and do all these changes in the call routing. It's good when you move people by the block of the numbers, but what if imagine you have absolutely mass with the numbers, right? You move user here, user there, and user somewhere else, like, you can't have to put specific rules for every number. So this kind of stuff you need to be thinking of. Again, is it right choice or bad choice? It really depends. So we've seen people coming back and saying, I don't want to maintain two DAL plans. It's a complex to maintain and operate. It's not really complex. It comes to the point of what I want users to be doing. How do I want users to be operating? If I'm going to give user new sky for business capability, and if I'm going to enable him for still remain on the PBX, how much do I gain out of it? Yes, possibly it's a more safer option. User always have a handset on the desk. He's still communicating it. It is a strategy, yes. But you need to also start thinking, once you get into the question of, I start doing simultaneously ringing from Sky for Business call forwarding to my PBX phone, then I need to maintain a different numbers. It's a things that you need to consider. It's all possible. There are no wrong or right options. But ideally, you belong on one world or another world. It's much cleaner to maintain and operate that environment. Call via work. So as I've said, there are cases, a lot of cases, where customers are not ready to completely disconnect the PBX. They still need to be in a coexistence mode, which means I still want, while I'm in the office, possibly use my PBX phone to ring. And while I'm on the road, I might start using my Sky for Business as for mobility. And while I am in a Sky City hotel, the wireless sucks. Wireless is so bad, none of my Skype for Business calls would go through, right? So what I would do, it's an ability for me to say, you know what, today I'm next to the extension 100, this is my PBX extension. Tomorrow I'm in a hotel, my extension is something else. It's not simultaneously ringing, it's actually ringing through. So whenever I set click to call, my phone will ring. That's the capability. That's the kind of function we would like you to start considering if you are in a remote call control business. So let's have a look actually how it works. Basically, you will have Skype for Business environment. You will have your PBX environment integrated directly or via gateway. There's no flavors. It depends what you want to do. What you will do, as an administrator, you can configure user for call via work functionality. You can enable it. And you can say either user can have those 10 numbers only to forward, or you leave this option to user. So user inside his client can actually go and choose and say, today I'm call forwarding, I'm calling via this number. Tomorrow is basically user has ability to change that. So what will happen, Sky for Business user will initiate a call. Basically, call via work, as you can see, it's a UC web application. It's a UC web API-based application that runs on top of a Skype for Business server. It will recognize that actually this user is enabled for call via work, and it's actually his setup that he has to be using PBX phone currently in place. So PBX, basically, UC web will initiate a call first. Let's say I want to call Paul. I'll dial his mobile number. So the UC will recognize Skype for Business user dialing the number, and UC will place a call to my PBX phone. So once phone is answered, I pick up a phone, then UC will place this call to the Paul's mobile number. So once Paul responded number, then the call is connected between him and the PBX user. That's how it actually will flow. This is basically, in a nutshell, what is a call via work. So it can actually work in both ways. You can also call internally. And again, user A initiates a call. UC recognizes it's actually, I need to call his desk phone. The desk phone will establish a connection. And the very interesting point that, remember all this reverse number lookup thing? Yes, if I dial a Paul's number internally, UC will say, ooh, Skype for Business will say, I need to check you for the number. But because it recognizes you are actually enabled for that call, so it kind of will skip this reverse number lookup and actually will call that telephone number. That's actually the engine change we had to introduce into the whole call flow, so actually your phone will start ringing. So the user will answer on PBX, user A will answer the desk phone. And then UC will place a call to the user B. And then it will start ringing PBX phone because user says, I'm receiving calls via my PBX phone. So it will ring actually both of them. It will ring your client and also will ring your phone. Because, yes, it's good, the phone to ring, but also it will ring a client. Maybe actually you want, we don't kind of lock you into phone call only. And then you can use, user B can have an option to answer either on a Skype for Business client or on the phone. If you pick up a phone, then PBX will ring. The media will go between them. If you actually pick up a phone on the Skype for Business client, that's how the media will go. Well, not really that way. It will be him, PBX, mediation server, back that. It's a logical view how the media will flow. Remember, there is always mediation server when PBX come to Skype for Business client. Inbound calling inside PBX, and this is a kind of a negative part of the call via work solution, has absolutely no visibility for Skype for Business. So if you, it's great that I'm, whenever I'm placing a call, my PBX phone rings, and it's great. But if I pick up a PBX phone and start ringing to Paul on his PBX phone, Skype for Business is not going to see that call. So you're going to miss that information. And also, we will not fire up a presence. So as you can see, the call via work is a very, very specific functionality that it fits a very specific purpose and very specific case. Again, you need to go to the case and say, if you are in the office, you want to start using that functionality of call, use your handset because network is not ready actually yet. I haven't upgraded the link. You can actually bring this kind of functionality, say, yes, you are in the office. I'm not allowing any voice on the network, but still click to call. Can have that experience still in place. It's just the media going to be delivered on the call. And also the case, as we said, if someone dials directly the phone, we're not going to see it, actually what's happening with the phone. What actually can be done also, call via work can be also configured as incoming. It's not just outgoing case. So if call coming in externally, and again, remember, it has to by some way reach Skype for Business. Is when I showed you in this slide, if call going to come directly hit your PBX, we're not going to see that instance. But if call actually is coming in and by some way reaching, routed to Skype for Business, the same routine repeats itself. I'll leave you guys with the slides and you can go through the call flow. There's a lot of documentation being published on TechNet. You can go. But the whole concept is by some way, you have to reach the Skype for Business client to initiate that workflow. So that's probably, I would say, again, if you are an RCC site, I would definitely encourage you to look into call via work for possibly actually giving you as a replacement solution. Probably what we're going to do, we would like to go through some of the slides that Paul mentioned, which is very, very important to understand actually the services we are launching. We want to make sure we guys are very clear with the terms of the services and actually what does it mean. The hybrid, I think we spoke about hybrid to death on Ignite, and I hope if you guys still have questions about hybrid, please come and have a chat with us. But basically, the hybrid is the capability for you to extend your Skype for Business on-premise solution and in an online solution, bring them together. Now, the topic I haven't mentioned yet, which I'm glad we're having a session, the hybrid does not mean you're splitting your workloads. Under the hybrid, as yesterday we spoke during a session, architecture, I have on-premise solution, I'll integrate into online solution, and I will host user either online or on-premise. The fundamental is you host it online, all your services come from online. It's a conferencing, IAM and presence registration, everything come online. If you are registered to the front-end server, you local on-premise user, all your services coming from on-premise. You cannot be online for IAM and presence and on-premise for voice. No, we do not split the workloads. That's very important for hybrid. Skype meeting broadcast, we show you the demonstration. I hope you guys loved it. It's ability for you to have up to 10,000 people in the meeting. It's a capability. Hybrid needs to be the foundation if you are on-premise deployment. If you are purely online deployment, you don't have to go to on-premise. Purely online deployment can utilize hybrid. There is no issue. It's an on-premise requires you to be in a hybrid mode. PSTN conferencing, it's the ability of this Microsoft term. It's the ability for online users to assign for online conferences Microsoft telephone numbers. You see, only online users assigning online conferences Microsoft telephone numbers. That's ability. We will bring it in US, and then we will be expanding around the globe. Hopefully, every country will have a batch of their telephone numbers. Cloud PBX, it is all related to online. It is ability for your Skype for Business online installation, for your online user assigning him a telephone number and give him a chance to dial in and dial out. That's the Cloud PBX. Your online-only deployment, online users with the online numbers. We will be providing Microsoft numbers, and there's a lot of conversations around the different regions where other telcos would like to also participate in the cases where you would be nice, you just go to the portal, pick a country, pick a telco, grab a number, assign, gone. That's the kind of concept. And because we're Cloud PBX with PSTN calling is launched only GA in US, we actually bring the capability for your online users, online Skype for Business deployment, to grab your local telephone number and assign to online users for PSTN calling only. You cannot take online trunks and bring into Skype for Business, on-premise your PBX trunks, bring into Skype for Business conferences. No, it is only using your on-premise trunks, voice trunks, and numbers, assigning to the Skype for Business online users. That is Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity. This, the function, will be released when we do this general launch. We expect probably early next year. So, server hybrid, as I think we spoke about it, you're extending your Skype for Business and connecting your Skype for Business online with Skype for Business on-premise. And that's what actually will be another interoperability option that I've just mentioned. We will be launching. So you will use your local trunks, local telephone numbers, and assign to the online user. Only for voice dialing in and dialing out. You cannot get them into conference call. And what's important, if you are online user, you will be hosting all your services online. That's what it is. You cannot split the workloads. Where this user can be located, anywhere. On the internet, it can be inside your organization. Nothing really changing. All the technology behind stays as it is. If I'm on-premise user sitting on a desk A and I'm online user sitting on a desk B, if I call an on-premise user, the media will try to find a path around. No changes in that kind of behavior. I'm not going to go in data center coming back, right? Media will find a path. There's no difference in that, right? It's where the users are hosted. That's what's important in this case. So one size doesn't fit all. Session takeaways. It's really very important for you to understand there are no bad or good integration options. These are just options. You really need to go back to the user capability. You need to go back to understand how the systems were going to be consumed. And the end goal is the most important thing. If I'm going to integrate my systems, and if I'm going to run it for 5 years, I hope you guys know what you are doing. My question would be, why do you have two PBX systems, two fully functional call control environments sitting one next to each other running your organization for 5 years? Don't you have better ways to spend your money? Really ask yourself a question. That's what really will be driving your architecture. If you take it, that's learned from experience. Take all the user experience, map it out, your options will come by themselves. You will have a much better understanding. I think it's a list of the sessions we've done. Look, we really appreciate. Please complete evaluation forms. We read them. And we take really that's very seriously. You tell us you need some more different context, much deeper technical. We'll bring it in, right? It's exactly what we are here actually to deliver you the content. And I'll stop it before it starts ringing. Any questions? Dolikam. Any questions? It's an interrupt session. You should have tons of questions. Yes. Oh, it's cool. Okay, the very good question. The question is, call via work, is it a re-implementation of this remote call control? Because with remote call control, you have to completely reconfigure user. You can't have him as, although you have to buy the license of enterprise voice, but you disable him for enterprise voice. Actually, no. Call control is not re-implementation of remote call via work is not implementation of remote call control. Call via work is just another function of the enterprise user capability. Call via work is just you calling via something else. When you are functioning, I deliver media to you on the handset that you nominate. You will have a lot of functionality will be there, but there are some restrictions. Yes, there are. If you have a look at the TechNet, there are some restrictions around what functions you may not get because we're breaking that reverse number lookup. That logic is broken. If you implement, some restrictions will not work. Link, I believe, plugin for VDI may not work for that. So you need to, but it's not. It's a fully still enterprise voice user. And it requires enterprise voice license. Well, voice. Yeah. No difference. Your voicemail is over there. Yeah. Very good question. The question is if I'm having on-premise deployment and if my provider can provide me with the ExpressRoute functionality. ExpressRoute is just a, it's not backdoor. it's a path of a private network into Office 365. It's still considered. It's just another route into the same place. It's which route you choose. Yeah, it's available. Unless you are on Office 365D, dedicated. There is no concept of ExpressRoute in dedicated. It's just an instance for you. And Office 365 dedicated will have direct routes into your environment. So none of them will be available in that case. As Paul mentioned, we don't have D in New Zealand. Any more questions? It's all good? Excellent. So, yes, ask a question. It was first.
The wideband codec, you mean like as a like
frequency
one?
And the so range.
It was first. Yeah. Right.
And what was the range?
Range. Sorry. Next one.
I didn't get the range.
Who knows both of them, range and... Yeah, 50 to 7, and 16 kilohertz is a whole modulation. Yeah, you got it. Come and grab it. All right, thank you very much. Look, you've got Paul Dolly.